Welcome back to the Cho Show.
It's us, your hosts, Emma Chan
and Ruby Lowe. And today we're discussing the new virus in town, xenophobia.
So within the past year, I think we've all come to know COVID-19, haven't we?
Yeah, 2020 has been like really good.
Well, it's been raging within Canada since March of 2020. And I think, honestly, a lot of us were excited when the 3-week extended March break was initially announced. Like, personally, I was so excited to just play Minecraft and sleep in late.
Yeah, the extra time was like so appealing. I was literally just gonna sleep. I was gonna hibernate the entire time. But look where we are now. We're barely able to go to school. March break of 2020 ended up being 15 weeks long. And our own March break of 2021 is postponed to discourage travel.
That's crazy, honestly. And like, I think after such a long time in quarantine and after getting adjusted to this COVID lifestyle, like, you know, the bread making phase
yeah,
and everything.
Everyone had that.
I know. I think we should take some time to think about like the impacts COVID has had, especially on the East Asian community.
More specifically, anti-Asian hate crimes escalated by 717%. With 12 cases in 2019 and 98 cases in 2020. In Vancouver's year-end report for 2020, the Vancouver Police Department stated that hate crimes increased by 97% from 142 incidents in 2019 to 280 in 2020.
Luckily, we've seen some Asian American organizations track these incidents on their own. Stop AAPI Hate launched last March to collect information on suspected cases of racially motivated violence and harassment. It received more than 2,808 self-reported incidents from across the country by year's end. Of those incidents, 9% were physical assaults and 71% were verbal attacks. Among the victims, most were women and about 126 reported being older than 60.
Both Emma and I descend from China, and I can personally say that these statistics are really just unsettling and they incite a mix of kind of fear and anger within me because I'm so angry that Asian people are being targeted, but I'm so fearful from the perspective of an Asian Canadian.
Honestly, for sure. Like, to see our fellow East Asians be hurt for a reason beyond their control is honestly insane. Like, it's hard to believe in our developed day and age where we're supposed to be more accepting that this kind of hate is still being widely spread.
Yeah, and it's so bad that this initiative had to be launched for Asians to feel safe reporting these assaults. If this organization hadn't been started, we really wouldn't know a huge fraction of those 2,000 incidents reported.
And honestly, I'm sure those incidents are only the tip of the iceberg of like the true amount of assaults, not even accounting the many microaggressions that East Asians are facing nowadays. Like in the beginning of COVID, when people still went to work, my mom would get like weird stares on the train for wearing her mask. You know, and it's also for the most part, women, elderly Asians being a target for these assaults, like even some children. And it's honestly terrifying because none of these Asians are hostile and literally existing gets them hate crime.
Yeah, these attacks are really unprovoked. One bad case was on January 28th, 2021, when an 84-year-old retired auditor from Thailand, Visha Ratanapakti, was slammed to the ground by a man who attacked him on his morning walk. He died of a brain hemorrhage 2 days later. On February 3rd, 2021, Noel Quintana, a Filipino-American man, was attacked with a box cutter on a New York City subway filled with people, and not one of them helped him. His face was sliced ear to ear. No one alerted the train conductor. No one called 911. He had to exit the train by himself and ask the station booth for help. He was brought to the hospital where he received about 100 stitches.
Okay. You know what's kind of ironic, though? These people weren't even Chinese. Like, these attackers are probably like, oh, man, I'm going to, like, mess some Chinese people up because of COVID. But they were, like, Filipino.
Yeah.
Like, what? What?
These attackers were like, oh,
sense.
I'm going to get revenge on this COVID virus. And it's obviously
exactly.
Spread through these Filipino people. Like, it doesn't make
so
sense.
Dumb. It's just, like, disgusting how prominent and common xenophobia and East Asian targeted hate crimes are becoming. Nobody's even willing to help. Like, this kind of xenophobia shouldn't be normalized.
For sure. Yet, we saw on January 31st, 2020, the University of California, Berkeley gave out an informational handout offering mental health tips and resources and identified a handful of normal reactions that people may experience as the crisis continues to unfold.
Oh my gosh, I think I know where this is going.
Yep. Among this list of normal reactions was, word for word, xenophobia, fears about interacting with those who might be from Asia, and guilt about those feelings.
Okay, man, how could a university that's supposed to be filled with, like, educated people say that? Like, and although we saw later that UC Berkeley did the "We Love Asians" apology soon after, but honestly, it was just an alarming example of this subtle encouragement of xenophobia.
Right? When is xenophobia ever a normal reaction? Rather than just unnormalizing xenophobia, I think it's important just to normalize Asian culture. This is why, although subtly, BTS is more than just a Korean boy band. We have Ahur joining us to talk more. It's an understatement to say Ahur's obsessed with BTS.
Hi, I'm Ahur, and I'm very excited to be here.
All right, Ahur, just to start, who is your bias?
Okay, so I like all the members, but Yoongi is definitely my favorite just because of his mixtape D2, and I think his rap is really unique.
Yeah, so earlier I mentioned that BTS is more than just a Korean boy band. I say this because it's subtly normalizing Asian culture.
I agree. I think it's really important when Asian acts like BTS are exposed to a wider Western audience because it makes their culture more normalized. Hearing them sing in their native language definitely expands on our judgment of other cultures and who gets to be famous, seen, heard, and respected. BTS Unplugged was aired recently around the world on MTV, and it was a really big deal, and it made news everywhere. People still found a way to bring them down. A radio announcer in Germany is currently drawing attention internationally. He called BTS a virus, comparing them to COVID-19, and hoped there would be a vaccine for the virus known as BTS soon.
Honestly, those comments are so uncalled for, and it's so disgusting that they have to face these kinds of racial issues. I also heard the announcer even tried to claim he wasn't xenophobic just because he drove a Korean car.
That's the dumbest excuse I've ever heard. That's like the excuse when people are like, I'm not racist because I have a black friend. Like, that doesn't work.
That's so true.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, I also agree. Like, it's super unfair that there's just this kind of bigotry and stigma around K-pop. So if you haven't already, you should definitely listen to BTS's MTV Unplugged performance.
Yeah, thank you, Ahur. So other than BTS, we've seen other celebrities speaking up on this discrimination. Just recently, Olivia Munn, an Asian-American actress known for her roles in The Newsroom and X-Men, spoke up saying that Asian-Americans are not safe.
And other East Asian celebrities even opened up on personal attacks. Si Ma, known as Hollywood's go-to Asian father, was yelled at by a passerby in a car to be quarantined.
It's funny because we can really see history repeating itself. People who look Chinese are at an increased risk of experiencing hate crimes, just like the discrimination faced by Muslims in the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks. During World War II, Japanese Americans volunteered for military duty at the highest possible levels to demonstrate that they were loyal to America. Similarly, now, in the Asian American community, there are many that are stepping up to demonstrate that they can be part of the solution.
You know, that reminds me a lot of the podcast about Japanese internment we listened to in class. Like, the way the Japanese were treated and hate-crimed by the public just because their country commit terrible crimes, that heavily reminds me of how Chinese and East Asians are being treated right now because of COVID. And it's honestly not even about origin all the time either. It's about how people look. Like in the Where is Japantown podcast, they mentioned that Chinese Canadians even wore pins that said not Japanese, just so they wouldn't be discriminated against when Japanese were under fire. Overall, other East Asian groups are currently suffering, like Koreans and Japanese, just because they somewhat resemble Chinese.
Yeah, I haven't even been to China before, despite it being my parents' birthplace. And yet, I've experienced microaggressions, like the subtle mocking of my eyes in elementary, you know, when they would pull their eyes back and pretend they were Asian.
Oh, for sure. And bro, I can't even speak Chinese, but I've still had people come up to me like, ni hao. And you know, I was even called like the C slur chink by one of my peers before.
Yeah, me too. I don't think people really understand the harmfulness of the term. It's like, it's an actual racial slur.
And it's not like this is the first time we've seen something like this happen. We see history has caused commonly been fixing the blame of any contagious disease generally on outsiders. So this honestly isn't the first time a disease has been blamed on another nation. Like in 2009, swine flu was associated with Mexican Americans. In 2003, SARS with Chinese Americans. In the 1980s, HIV with Haitian Americans. In the 1300s, people thought the bubonic plague came from the Jewish community, and honestly, the list goes on and on.
Man, you'd think we'd learn and change from our past at this point. And I think the blaming of COVID-19 on Asians was heavily fueled by none other than the 45th United States President Donald Trump, who repeatedly called the coronavirus the China virus and Kung flu during his time in office. Anti-Asian sentiment on Twitter spiked after Trump's October COVID-19 diagnosis.
We saw the rise of Twitter hashtags such as hashtag blame China, hashtag China lied, people died, and hashtag China coronavirus on the trending list for days after Trump's encouragement of blaming China for the virus. Here we have a short clip of Trump speaking on his attitude towards China considering COVID-19.
Why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus? This ethnicity does not cause the virus. Why do you keep using this?
A lot of people comes say from it's China. Racist. It's not racist at all, no, not at all. It comes from China.
What we just saw was Trump saying that he was not racist for calling it the China virus, and only because the virus originated from China. Can you believe that?
It's crazy. See, even though he's so insistent that it wasn't racist, it has negative connotations toward the Asian community, and it feels a lot like blame. Asian Americans are not genetically more likely to carry coronavirus or more susceptible. In the end, viruses don't discriminate, and neither should we.
Thank you for tuning in to The Cho Show, featuring your hosts, Emma Chan
and Ruby Lowe.